This bracha is for this thing, and this bracha is for that. This tefillah is for this thing that I need. You know, it's interesting. When I went to the store, there was no line, and I was able to get out quick, and I went over here, and I didn't miss the bus, and I took my children here, and I felt good today, and Baruch Hashem, I went to my chavrus, I went to the shir, and I understood the learning, and all the brachot and shmoneh esrei, all of a sudden, they come to life. But a lot of times we don't think about it. A lot of times we don't think about the words. People just say things because they're used to saying it. But if you would just stop. Let's work day by day how to understand more of the chelik of tefillah. We'll connect so much more to it. And then we can appreciate so much more how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing on us so much bracha. And every person in his life, he can recognize and he can see, you know, I daven for something and it came true.
Baruchim Abayim and welcome to Torah Talks Chazak's program with special guests. We have with us Rav Yaakov Skalcha Shlita, all the way from Eretz HaKodesh. Baruch Haba. Welcome back to Queens. Such an honor, such a privilege. And we're going to be speaking about the living life of Torah. And if you get a little background about the rabbi and the great work you are involved with.
Oh, okay. So, Baruch Hashem, thank Hashem that we grew up in this wonderful neighborhood, Queens. Queens has many places of Batei Medrash, Batei Tefillah, Batei Knesiot. So we were around a wonderful neighborhood that was filled with such wonderful people and such inspiration.
Baruch Hashem.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kind, like he is to everybody, to guide us into making it to Eretz Yisrael after growing up and spending the high school years in Queens. And we made it to some of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, including the Mir Yeshiva. Over there, we got to meet some of the wonder Magide Shiurim, and we got to learn with intensity, B'chasdei Hashem. When I got married, I went back to Eretz Yisrael, and on my first morning of davening Shachris in Eretz Yisrael, I said, where am I going to daven? I want to be Koveh Makom Tefil, like it says, the Gemara in Brochos. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that a person should find himself a place to be Koveh as Tefillah. The Tefillah will be heard better in the place that he's Koveh, the place that he sets a Mochum Kavua. And I decided, after getting some advice, that there's one of the Gedolei Ador, he was then the Poisek Ador, Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And I didn't know my way around, but they told me that it's somewhere near Me'e Sharim. And I pushed myself to find this place early in the morning while it was still dark outside. And from that day to the last day that he was on this earth, we had a special kesher together. Because I was in the surroundings of the Poisek Ador every morning, day in and day out, I was able to receive this tremendous drive to want to become great, to try to become great. We all have to try to become great. And I spent a lot of time with him, and I observed him, like it says in the Gemara, in Maseches Brochos, and Daf Zayin, G'doylo shimusho yoyser milimudo, okay? It's greater to be meshamesh et Talmid Chacham than the learning itself, because when you are around the Talmid Chacham, you know exactly how to act, you know exactly how to behave. You don't have to go and think, maybe the halakha is like this or like that. You see a Talmid Chacham, how he behaves, that's the way you know that is the derech of Alpi Halacha, to do like a true Eved Hashem. So I had the zchut of being in his surroundings, Baruch Hashem, and that gave me a new opening and learning that in order to become like the Poisek Ador, to try to become like a great Talmid Chacham like Rav Eliashiv, I have to be Osek, I have to be involved in learning also Halacha Lemaaseh. And to fast forward a little bit, after a tremendous amount of siyata dishmaya, tremendous amount of help from Hashem, we were able to continue in that path and meet many Gedolei Yisrael, including his son-in-law of Chaim Kanievsky, that we carried also a tremendous connection with him, and other Gedolei Yisrael, Yibar L'Chaim Tov Maruchim, Rav Avigdor Nevinzal, his mechutin, who we carry a tremendous kesher with Adayom Azeh, that today we also get to discuss with him Sheilot, very, very hard and difficult questions that come from all over the world, and we get to discuss it with him and bring answers back to people. All this came about with a tremendous help from Hashem, But I believe that a lot of the reasons why we were able to see such Seata Dishmaya was because when you're around big people, it gives you a push to where you have to get to. Every Jew has to think about how he can go and raise himself up, raise the bar a little higher, how he can push a little more. Because the more you push, the more you get. And Baruch Hashem, that we got that. I want to also add, if I may,
of course,
for my father, Dr. Skatchelis, who was a tremendous Oyev Torah. He loved Torah. He supported Torah. He loved tefillah. People used to say about him that when he would come to Eretz Yisrael and he would come daven in the minyan together with the Poisek Ador of Eliashiv, all the mitpalim over there, big talmidei chachamim, they would see him and they would ask me, "Who is this? Your father? I thought you said your father was a doctor. He looks to me like a big tzaddik. He sits there and davens word by word inside the siddur, like a big tzaddik." And Baruch Hashem, he was, and he invested a lot of his strength and also monetarily to be able to be involved in supporting Torah, learning of the Torah, and spreading of the Torah. 100%. He specialized in geriatrics. He was a person who knew very, very well the elderly people, their body, and all the medicine that they were involved in taking. And the family of the Eliashivs, they wanted to seek his advice. Rav Eliashiv was then in his 90s, and you know, they were getting some advice from people, but they wanted to hear something new. So one time when my father came to Eretz Yisrael and he used to get a bracha from Rav Eliashiv, he shook his hand after davening, and Rav Eliashiv gave him a bracha, and he went on his way. A few months later, the same thing, he came to visit Rav Eliashiv, and he shook his hand, and he got a bracha, and he went on his way. After that day of Shacharit, the grandchildren asked my father to come upstairs, and they said, "Please, we want you to go and see our grandfather, and we want to hear advice from you medically." So my father told him, he said, "You know, I see that your grandfather is eating much better." And they said, "Why did you say that?" He said, "Well, last time I was here, he looked like he was malnourished. He didn't look like he was eating so well." And when they asked him the dates when he was here last, they were all of a sudden very shocked. They said, "How did you know that he wasn't eating?" He said, "Well, I shook his hand." And they said, "So what?" He said, "No, you know, when you're a doctor like me and you shake 200 people's hands a day in a hospital, so you know how they're eating." And they saw right away that he had a unique chayin. He had a tremendous. He was very soft, and he was not looking, you know, to go and get any publication for this. He was just trying to help the Gadol Hador. And they asked him to come inside. And since that day, till the day that Rav Eliashiv was nifter, he had a very close connection and was able to help the Gadol Hador with tremendous amount of Eitzah and advice and medical advice, and also provide him with different medications that literally helped him till his final day. And everyone who knew the story were always very humbled how a very simple, nice, special doctor from Queens made his way to take care of the Poisek Ador.
Unbelievable. Yes. And the Rav didn't mention, I guess, Iowa, about the amazing Sfarim that the Rav has had the school to publish. 320 different volumes of Oel Yaakov, Shelot U'Tshuvot. This one in specific is Kivud Avim. With your father was the one that asked you to put this together.
Yes.
And when Rav Chaim Kanievsky got a copy of it, like I have over here, with our understanding, he was Me'ayan. He was studying it for a half hour.
Yes.
So that must have been a very big schut. And Torah is our rabbi. This is our life. And, you know, we have to learn it every single day and every single night. It's an obligation, but many people feel like when you have an obligation, it's a chiyuv, it might lose that excitement, that enthusiasm. What message could you give over to such an individual, Araf?
Well, Rav Yaniv, you mentioned something that is very important. Every Jewish person has to think about it and make a calculation of how they can go and make more of their life and more of their time to being connected to Torah. And you also had mentioned the Sfarim that also have a lot to do with this answer. So I'm just going to start by mentioning something about the Sfarim that you mentioned over here. The the Chiyuv of Yegisa B'yom V'layla, that we are aware and that we know that is brought down also Al Pi Halacha and Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeh, in Simin, Reish Mem Vav. Also, there's a big Arichut in the Sefer of the Shulchan Aruch Harav that discusses the many different guidelines of to how much a person is supposed to learn and how much a person is supposed to try to know in this world. And I want to first mention about the Sfarim that you're showing us over here, that I myself, when I was trying to go and get clarity in certain sugyot, in certain discussions that were discussed in Gemara, that were discussed in Shulchan Aruch, so I took the advice of what's written. It's also brought down in some of the Sfarim. You see in the Maseches Bava Basra, the Marsha and Daf Yud, he writes over there that, you know, people should try to write Chidushei Torah. You definitely get a clarity when you do such a thing. And one of the biggest miracles that happened to me in my life is that when I tried writing a Sefer, I wrote it for myself because I wanted to get a clarity in the learning. And Baruch Hashem, after I wrote it, I thought that I was going to give a present to my parents who were so supportive of me sitting and learning the Holy Torah. And I tried to find a place to go and print a Sefer, and they told me, you can't just print one, you have to print a few hundred. And I said, what am I going to do with a few hundreds for them? I said, I don't have a few hundred relatives. Maybe I should give it to a few hundred friends. So I took the Sefer, and I took their advice, and they printed for me a few hundreds for them. And to make a long story short, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't know why, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose that the Sefer was something that was Ole al Shulchan Melachim. It made it to the tables of many great Rabbonim and Kolalim. And a lot of it came about by a person recognizing what you mentioned in the beginning is what is our obligation? How much do we have to go and push ourselves? How much do we have to do for Limura Torah to take it to the next level? So that one thing is for sure is that each person, according to what he spends his time, how much time he has to spend, he has to think and make this calculation, how much can he get from the Torah? How much can he better himself in Limud HaTorah? So in my simple life, Baruch Hashem, I was able to push myself to a point where I said, you know, after learning this Chelek of Torah, I have to go one step further. And that led me to the Sfarim. So in my situation, Baruch Hashem, thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we were able to also be Marbit Torah through our writings, and it all came about because how we looked at this chiyuv of Limud HaTorah. Now, I just want to say that for the Hamonam, the world, we all love to listen to the words of the Chachamim and what we're supposed to be doing. For the Hamonam, every person has to go and make for themselves a kviyus as much as he can. Kviyut itim la Torah. I want to just share something which is unbelievable, and I see it with my own eyes in Eretz Yisrael, and I'm sure, Yaniv, I'm sure you see this also, that sometimes it's not about for a person who doesn't have the whole day to sit and learn the Torah, but he has a certain amount of time that he can do every day, a limud, whatever limud he can do. It's not about how many hours he puts in. It's about how much simcha he has when he learns. It's about how much enthusiasm he has when he learns. Now, we know from experience, and we've seen this, and we see it all the time, that when you have a family where the father, he goes out, even if he goes out to a shir in Daf Yomi, which is a wonderful thing, if he's able to do it, but if the father is very tired, and he's not able to show simcha and enthusiasm, and the children see that, you know, Abba, when he makes it to the shir, he's crawling to the shir, he's just getting there, bekoshi, he's getting there, it's very hard for him, but he makes it over there. So it's obviously a different impression. It's obviously a different influence that comes from Limud HaTorah on himself and also on his family.
For sure.
Now, I want to share with you that different Gdolei Yisrael, I've heard from them, and also ones that I haven't been zochet to meet, said over many times that a person who calculates for himself a special time in the day and also a topic, whether it's Gemara, whether it's Halacha, whether it's Sifrei Musar, whether it's Chumash, whatever it is, if he sets aside the time and the children know that, so he wins on two sides. Number one, himself, he builds his character because he's living al pi the Torah. He's breathing the Torah. He's living according to the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see all of his children acting. And number two is that the children see that this thing is important. This thing is important. Limud HaTorah is very important, and they get a tremendous impact from the from the father and the mother, and the house is a different house. We've seen many, many homes that they look much different when a father came and made a calculation
structure.
Of structure, how much time he should be able to put, what should he do. And then, of course, comes the next stage, which is how much enthusiasm and simcha he has from the Torah.
100%. So very, very true. Something that we have to take upon ourselves. Jumping onto Shabbat, ki mikor bracha, it's the source of all bracha, of all blessings.
Yes.
If the Rav could give some chizuk, some inspiration on the topic of Shabbat, how to make it la'asot et Shabbat, make it ledoratam for generations, yes. For the kids.
So what I personally believe, in my humble opinion, the way to be able to answer such a question is to think of something which is number one, proven. It's something that we see that it happens and it works. So like this, there can be a constructive purpose for the people listening that they can take from here example of people who tried something like this and it worked. And I'll explain.
Sure.
We've seen many times. I've had it in my own home when I had guests from all different types of backgrounds. That number one, the Shulchan Shabbat, right? We like to say many times. The father and the mother are not a police. They're not policemen, right? The children, you know, of course, they should sit by the table if they can, if they're able to, and they're able to enjoy. But it's not. This is not a police station. We're not coming to go and, you know, make sure that every person feels like the Shulchan Shabbat is a place where everyone has to sit down and buckle up, and otherwise we're not going to be able to enjoy it because we want the children to enjoy. We want the children to be interactive. We want them to go and say over what they had learned in the schools so they can go and also give us an idea of what they know, of what they're proud to know, what they're proud to learn. But it's proven, you've seen it many, many times, that when we have guests or even our own children, and you bring out an idea, you bring out something, let's say a question, a practical question. Many times we like to give this example because we've seen so many people who are connected to it. I'll just first mention something that I don't know if I had mentioned this to you, but in the last year we had the schut to go and put out a question and answer weekly. And what this question and answer weekly is, which is really related to the Shulchan Shabbat, is something that we try to take three of the most interesting questions in halacha, and we write it down in English, and we send it out, and we put it out in the shuls to many people all over the world. Recently, we heard that people have been telling us that the Shulchan Shabbat is different, and I asked them why. They said, because, you know, you bring their questions, and these questions are practical questions, but are interesting. Not always is it something which is straightforward and brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, and all of a sudden, I hear such a question. I say, you know what? I want to say my opinion.
Mm.
And a person wants to go use their opinion and say, wait, you know, maybe the halacha should be like this. Right away, they're engaging themselves.
You become a part of it.
And becoming a part of it. And they're being engaged in the topic of a Torah topic.
Amazing.
Something which, you know, they could have been talking about, you know, chas v'shalom, maybe politics or something else. And instead, they said, no, you know, let's go and be Mekadesh the Shulchan Shabbat.
And they're talking Torah.
Torah talks. And you come and you say over a question, which can have usually, like every Shaila, has two sides to it. And each person says their opinion. And then it carries with them through the whole week. It carries with them till next week. And they say, you know what? I also want to discuss on Shabbat something which is interesting, something which is also a place that can give a person his room for saying his opinion, what he feels about it. And especially if the person says, let's say, the right answer, he says, wow, I just, you know, it was mechaven, I was intended now to a chidush in Torah. and he appreciates it, and he lives with it. And the simcha that one gets when they go, when they involve their guests, their children, into this discussion, this Torah talks, is a totally different Shabbos table.
It makes Shabbat great.
Every time, I should know, I had times where I had people who came from secular backgrounds and they were guests by me in Eretz Yisrael. And they said, what are we going to talk about? Some people don't know, you know, some of the basics. Some people don't know. You talk to them about a question, a basic question. Somebody rented a apartment in the summer, or he rented a car and the air conditioning didn't work. And, you know, he decided that, okay, how can I rent this house? I want to give it back. But he had no way of renting another car or another apartment, so he just lived with it. So the question was whether or not such a person is able to say, hey, listen, if you really didn't like it, so you would have complained right away. But the fact that you didn't say anything and you drove in the heat or you slept in the heat means that you're able to live with it. So I don't know if I have to refund you. And, you know, you speak about a practical question to any person from any background, regardless of how much they know, all of a sudden they're involved. Amen. And sometimes it can carry on for an hour and people are fighting and they're arguing back and forth. It should be, the halacha should be like this. And you have a person from any background is getting involved and all of a sudden he has a tremendous simcha.
100%. And the children can also get involved with these type of questions and say their opinions. I think it's very, very important. So we're talking about the living a life of Torah. We discuss Torah. We discuss Shabbat. A major part of living a Torah life is tefillah. Is a prayer, and we do the same tefillah more or less every single day for three times a day. Someone might feel it's robotic, you know, saying the same thing. What chizuk, what inspiration can the Rav Shlita give over?
I want to try to tie in what I think could be maybe an inspiration. We'll try to connect some of the questions that you mentioned before, which has a similar answer to the question you're asking now about tefillah. One of the important things that I think we forgot to mention this is that we mentioned the word simcha a few times.
Yivdut Hashem b'simcha. Yivdut Hashem b'simcha. Hashem with happiness. Very
Hashem,
important.
We have to serve Hashem b'simcha, and Hashem wants to see everybody happy. He wants to see his children happy, especially when they're doing their avodah, when they're getting close to him through tefillah, through Torah. He just wants to see people happy. And we know Chazal teach us that a person achieves happiness when he knows the Torah that he's learning. If a person would just read words in a Gemara, in a Chumash, but he doesn't know what the words mean, how could he be happy? He doesn't know.
We totally forgot to mention this. In the background, how could we not mention about the Rav's amazing kolel, the yeshiva that the Rav has in Eretz HaKodesh, and the Avrachim, and the fact that they don't just sit and learn, but they have a sibuk, they have an enjoyment from the learning.
So
important.
If you want, we'll mention that also.
Yes.
We'll mention that also. Okay.
So when you learn,
when you're learning, so you can, if you read the text, so you covered a lot of ground, but it's hard to say that a person is going to find simcha from what he's learning, because you asked him, what did you learn today? So I don't know, I read a lot of words. Which mesechta? I don't know, because I didn't even pay attention. I only looked in the middle where the Gemara was. Or if you ask him, which parsha did you learn? He didn't look at the heading because he just wanted to read the words to say he went to the parsha, which is nice. But you know what? If a person is trying to achieve the ultimate goal, the Torah, which is learned mitoch simcha, is a different life. It's a different life. And I'm going to get to tefillah in a minute.
Sure.
You mentioned about the kola that we have, yes. Baruch Hashem, that after we spoke already about my tremendous father, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Dr. Skachelis. So the Kotel 5 years ago was opened up in his memory. And we started the Kotel and we said, we're going to open a Kotel Lahora'ah. Klal Yisrael needs Rabbanim. Klal Yisrael needs Poskim. They need people to go and address their questions and to be able to help them. And we opened this Kotel in his memory. And the main idea of the Kotel, which is my purpose, and I try and I dive into Hashem every day that I should fulfill this, is to be able to take people who learn in this Kotel and show them that through their learning, not only are they going to become big Talmid Chachamim, but they're going to be so happy that they're going to want to just go from year to year, from subject to subject, and just conquer as much Torah as they can and be the greatest people they can.
Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Mitzam Chelev, it makes a person happy.
Right, that's why we're going to have... That's why... On Tisha B'Av, you know,
right. People can't
learn Torah because the simcha that it brings, that's for sure. But what type of Torah? We live in a very practical world, right? We have to speak practically. Not every time a person goes and connects himself to Torah, even by reading, does he feel that simcha. So, for example, in our kolel, I took some of the wonderful Avrechim, Talmidei Chachamim, that already had been learning for many years. And they told me that they wanted to go and find a derech in Limud that will bring them a tremendous amount of simcha. That not every year they will look for a new kolel to learn other topics. And I told them, I said, the way to do it is you have to understand what you're learning, and you have to review what you're learning so you don't lose it. Because if you lose it, if you lose what you're learning, then you're going to say, oh, you know, I invested so much time, and I didn't remember. And we know the Yetzer Hara works very hard. The Yetzer Hara, he works very hard, and he wins. And we have to keep fighting. And the way to keep fighting is to keep going. And Baruch Hashem, we have today, after 4.5 years, a very special makom that is building poskim and rabbanim all over the world. And Baruch Hashem, it all came about from the fact that we instill in the guys that the more you understand and review and you make that kinyan, you acquire that limud, you're going to be much happier, because that's what Chazal promised us, that when you go and you learn b'simcha and you keep on learning and push yourself to understand more and more, you're going to become a much bigger Talmid Chacham. And when you remember your limud, and people ask you, new rabbi, so what's the answer to this question? And right away you tell them the answer, you feel happy. And when you feel happy, you say, you know what, this is great, I want to learn more. It's a very practical way of approaching this chiv of Yigisa B'yom V'layla. So we, Baruch Hashem, are able to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is blessing us, that it's working wonderfully, and we use that method, we use that mahalach of the chizuk of Chazal. Chazal themselves go and teach us this yisod, that you have to go and understand what you're learning, and you're going to have happiness from that. So let me just back up for a second. You asked this wonderful question about tefillah, right, and Torah also, of course. Now, tefillah is the same thing. If a person takes a siddur, then it should have translation. He should have a translation if he doesn't understand the words, and learn up the words that he says, and understand what he's saying. Then he's going to appreciate so much more when he realizes the bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers upon us bracha every day. We don't always pay attention. We don't realize the divine providence, the Hashgacha Pratit, that is going on every single day. And a lot of times it comes from a person who gave a heartfelt tefillah, especially if he understood the words he said, he will connect so much more to it. He will understand that this bracha is for this thing, and this bracha is for that. This tefillah is for this thing that I need. And all of a sudden, when he looks back at night and looks at his day and he says, you know, it's interesting. When I went to the store, there was no line and I was able to get out quick. And I went over here and I didn't miss the bus and I took my children here. And I felt good today. And Baruch Hashem, I went to my chavrus, I went to the shir and I understood the learning. And all the brachot and shmoneh all of a sudden, they come to life. But a lot of times we don't think about it. A lot of times we don't think about the words. We don't think about we don't appreciate what we're saying. And like you mentioned, Rav Yaniv, that people just say things because they're used to saying it. But if you would just stop, the same thing like with learning, and say, you know what, let's make a system over here. Let's work day by day how to understand more of the chelik of tefillah. We'll connect so much more to it. And then we can appreciate so much more how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is throwing on us so much bracha. And every person in his life, he can recognize it. He can see, you know, I daven for something, and it came true. I daven for something. I don't know if I'm allowed to share a personal story.
Just tefillah, of course.
But I myself, we spoke a little bit about the background.
Yeah.
I was to say quickly something which is an unbelievable chesed from the many, many chesedim bli ayin hara that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for every person, and myself included. I once had a special story with tefillah. When I was a yeshiva bacher, I went on a trip to go and find one of the kfarim of our old ancestors who perished in the Holocaust. No one had found this kever, and since he was buried, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go on this trip with a group of people that go to Europe. You know, they have wonderful trips. Yeah. I think Rabbi Krohn has trips. Yes. Many, many, many wonderful trips that people go to see the terrible tragedies that happened to Klal Yisrael, and to be mechazek ourselves in emunah and bitachon, and realize that everything is from Hashem. And I went on a search in a Beis HaKfarot for my great grandfather, who I'm named after, Yaakov, who I share the same name. And my grandmother, she lived in Bewell, she asked me, can you go and try your hardest? Because until now, nobody found it. I'll just tell you quickly, Rav Yaniv, I was working very much in those days, Befrat, on this what we're talking about now, on understanding tefillah, on connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our davening, through our learning, but especially through our tefillah. And I really felt that the more I understood the tefillah, I feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the room. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right here. He's listening. I went to this Beit HaKfarot where they told me, you're probably not going to find it. There was a few hundred, I don't even know, maybe tens of thousands of kfarim in this Beit HaKfarot in Lodz. And I went over there searching in the snow. There was thorn bushes. There was moss that was on all the kfarim. It was so hard to read the words. It was almost impossible to find this. Somebody who was there, a Rav who lived in Lodz then, he guided me. He said, you know what? I think it's in this section, but there's like 10,000 kfarim over here. You'll try to find it over there. And I had limited time because I had a driver who took me from place to place in Poland. I went over there and I went back and forth. And the whole time I was davening to Hashem, I was saying Tehillim, and I was connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the words that I was saying through my tefillah. And I asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've been doing this for 45 minutes. I said a heartfelt tefillah. I said, please, I don't want it to come empty-handed. And I said with Kavanah, certain Pirkei Tehillim, and I felt that I was so close to Hashem because I was talking mamash to Hashem, and I understood the words that I was saying. And I was about to leave because it was already 45 minutes and the time came up, and all of a sudden, I took my next step, and then my shoe fell off. A bush was connected to my shoe, and it yanked off my shoe. Uh-huh. I put my foot on the snow, and all of a sudden, I'm feeling the snow. Where's my shoe? Hashem made it that the thorn bush took my shoe and it yanked it behind me. Didn't fall over here. And I had to make a 180. I turned around and I see that was the kever.
Wow.
And I told myself at that point, crazy. I said, you know what?
Unbelievable.
I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard a tefillah from a person who was working on trying to understand the words of tefillah, of course, with a broken heart. And I saw that Hashem right away said, here, we take care of you. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megal himself right away through tefillah. Sometimes it fills in a otzar. There's a tremendous amount of otzar. But we were able to see right away a tremendous connection through davening, through understanding and appreciating the koach of tefillah through that story.
What a powerful
thank
story.
Thank you for listening to that
wow,
story.
Wow. Unbelievable. Shomer tefillah, boom, on the spot. Enjoying every single moment, Rabbi Skatulis. We have a minhag, a custom of a final message for our broad audience.
Right. I mentioned about the idea of simcha, how important it is today. And one of the things that we speak about besides simcha is also for all Jews around the world, every person, we all struggle with something, I think, that we have to build our confidence, right? Confidence is a very important thing. When a person feels confident about what he does, he goes and does a lot.
The sky's the limit.
Rav Yaniv is a tremendous, you have tremendous confidence, and look what you built over here. Chazak, v'nit chazak. It keeps on growing. And it comes from a tremendous amount of confidence that you have and that every person is searching for. How do we get to that confidence? So the same Yisod that we mentioned before, the same idea that finding ways, practical ways in life to be able to understand better our avodah, to understand better the limura Torah that we have every day, whatever we could do, to understand better the tefillah, then all of a sudden we start to become happier, like I mentioned, because you get that special understanding of the limud that you invested your time into and you feel connected to it. And once, all of a sudden, you say, you know, I know something, automatically you become more confident. You don't feel that nobody should speak to me about any topics of Torah or engage in any conversation of Torah. The more we connect ourselves and the more we invest time and koach into our families in trying to instill that midah, that special bracha of what I think that is we call it confidence, that when a person has this special confidence, he's able to push himself and do a lot more. If we practically work on trying to do things that make sense, you know, a little bit every day, understanding more what we learn, having a special time to learn Torah, understanding our tefillah, we automatically become happier. When you become happier, you become much more confident. I'll tell you something very interesting. I want to end off with this, if you let. There was a Yid in Yerushalayim who was a Talmud from Rav Shach. And he learned in the yeshiva of Ponovich, the great yeshiva, very famous yeshiva. After a year of being in the Kollel in Ponovich, he told Rav Shach that he really had to be doeg for Parnassah, and he had to go and make his way to find himself some business. So Rav Shach said, okay, no problem, but do me a favor. Every day, I want you to take a sefer that's called Oruch HaShulchan. Oruch HaShulchan was written in the order of Shulchan Aruch, and he said, every day, try to spend 5-10 minutes learning that. He said, why? Because you learn a little bit about the Mishnah, the Gemara. He brings there a summary of the door of the Rishonim, the Achronim. And afterwards, you see also he mentions then, almost 150 years ago, practical things that came up, lalacha. Like this, you'll have a connection to some type of kviyus. And he did this for a while. I bumped into a big rav in Yerushalayim. He's a big rav of a big shchuna. And he told me, he said, you know, I'll tell you something so interesting. A story about a balabas who connected himself to Torah. Every year, when he would say his shir, his drasha of Shabbos HaGodol and Shabbos Tshuva, before Pesach and before Yom Kippur, this balabas would come either to sell the chametz or to say Shana Tova, and he would ask him, "Nu, Rav, what are you discussing this year?" And he would talk to him about this very in-depth sugya, and every time he would ask him this, or what about this, and what about that, and a few times, you know, he said, today you own a big factory. But Michilah, if I can ask you, why do you sound like a big Godel Ador? What happened? He says, you know, he was embarrassed to say the Rav, but he said, I don't really see you around the Batei Midrash. I don't even see you in the Daf Yomi Shir. What's going on over here? So he told him this story. He said, my Rosh Hashiva told me that I have to do something kavua, something which I think is practical, and that's what I'm going to do. And he said, you know, for the last 30-some years, it takes me a few years, but I get through this whole sefer. And I get the Oruch HaShulchan, the whole set. And I get through the whole set. And this is what I know. This is the Torah that I know. And the person knew so much because of a little bit that he did every day with understanding and with simcha, that he was able to converse with the Rav of a shchuna of thousands of yidin, which is an unbelievable thing.
Unbelievable.
So if I daven together with you that all the listeners, all the wonderful Talmidim of Chazak, we should all be zoche to have this special bracha of Siyata Dishmaya from Hashem.
Amen.
That Hashem will open our eyes and allow us to understand the Torah and make those zmanim that we will learn the Torah and we will connect to the Torah, all for the ultimate goal of having tremendous bitachon atzmi, tremendous confidence to be able to push ourselves more and more that we can get to the next level. The Meherav Yemein HaMashiach will come and bring us the Gula.
Amen, amen, amen. Chazaku Baruch Rabbi Yaakov Skatchers. What powerful words of chizuk of inspiration. Yagdid Torah V'yadir B'ezat Hashem. We want to remind everyone every single Tuesday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Chazak Torah Talks with special guys. What an amazing Torah Talk we just had with Rabbi Skatchelis. I personally got inspired very, very much. I'm sure all the listeners as well will get inspired. And we shall be so chelik, the Rabbi said, this is the Gula Shema, the complete redemption to come in Meherav Bein Mitzvin Yadiz. Amen, amen. Special thanks to our friends at Torah Anytime and all the different podcast players and platforms and to daily giving as well. And to Nat and the entire team over here at Chazak. Chazak u Baruch, Yishkayach. Beautiful, very nice, amazing.